for this segment, I had the chance to speak with a couple of people who have had front row seats to the transformation of the music industry over the last few decades. And that's Judy Negley, the longtime owner of Independent Records, which operates three record shops in Colorado Springs, and Sean Mayo, who manages the company's flagship store on Platte Avenue. They've weathered major format changes and the explosion of internet music downloading and streaming, and have seen the role of the record store change dramatically during their time. So I recently invited them into the studio to talk about some of those changes and to discuss the importance of the record store today. Don't you try to come to my record store. No, I don't want to see you in my record store. Don't you try to come to my record store. Judy Negley, Sean Mayo, thank you guys so much for coming in to talk to me today.
Oh, thanks for the interest.
So I've invited you guys in to talk about independent records and record stores more generally. And I guess my first question is for you, Judy, which is when you first got involved at Independent Records in 1981, could you talk a little bit about what the record store meant to you? Why you were attracted to it?
Yeah, you know, I had done some various things, and it's kind of happenstance with Independent. It was really my last choice of a place to work. There were many record stores in town in those days, Budget and Sound Warehouse. I knew I didn't want to work at Sound Warehouse, but Independent seemed like too bright and just a little different environment than what I was accustomed to. So it was kind of my last choice, and but they were the ones who called me, and I needed something to do right then, and if it was with music, it was great. The thing that really attracted me to retail music was just the connection. When you're dealing with the end consumer who's coming in to find their next favorite thing, there's a magic about that that can't be replicated, I don't think, or at least I haven't found it.
It seems like prior to the explosion of internet music blogs and discovery of music through the variety of means that we have today, the record store was kind of the clearinghouse, not just for music, but for information about music and for discovery of new music. Is that
accurate? Oh, absolutely. In those days, that was really true because there were so many gatekeepers to music. You know, I mean, you guys aside, but radio, who the labels wanted to push. I mean, there were only so many artists you got to vote on. Really, and then you didn't have access to the rest. You know, if the label didn't want to put money behind it or whatever, it was a lot more difficult to grow music organically. And now that's become wide open. I mean, as much as you want to look, you can find anything. You know, anybody can put anything on the internet, which is both a good and a bad thing. But it definitely leveled the playing field. And I'm a huge fan. I mean, has it been good for business? Not exactly. But has it been good for creativity and music? And I look at the record stores, it's always been a microcosm of what's going on societally at large. I mean, we may have experienced that earlier than other businesses, but now you're seeing it everywhere. You know, all physical retail, radio. People have lots of choices about where they can go and how they want to get their entertainment or their necessities, for that matter. You know, I consider music a necessity, but not everyone does. I know that.
For music lovers, for the last many decades, the experience of going into the record store and flipping through the CD racks, the sort of tactile experience of unwrapping a new CD or a new record, for me, even, I'm a millennial internet age music consumer, but I still have very vivid, emotionally charged memories of holding CDs and of unwrapping them and putting them in for the first time. Do you see that still among young people?
I think that's a huge deal right now for teens, young people, and people of all ages. But, it's very participatory coming into the record store. It's a journey. It's a destination. And you get in there and you feel the vibe. There's music playing right away. Flipping through the racks, finding something that you've been looking for forever or something new that just strikes you, maybe because of the cover. And, taking out the vinyl and participating, putting it on, cueing it, you know, flipping the side, reading the lyrics, looking at that cover and the art of vinyl, which I'm speaking about right now. And I think that's a big deal to be able to have something, you know, to hold and keep. And then, you know, you get a little further into it and you're collecting now, and, you know, you start and you have just this, you know, little collection of CDs, or, and it starts growing and you're like, check out my collection now, you know, remember when I only had just a few? And then it consumes you.
Yeah, it's super cool. I mean, you know, when it comes right down to it, there's nothing like that feeling of thumbing through stuff. And like you say, it's just truly a very connecting experience.
It seems like now, maybe more so than in the past, going to a record store is a kind of lifestyle choice, more so than a necessity.
It really is. I mean, you know, it's not like when we used to have the masses come in. You know, we would do an in-store and we'd have, you know, 1,500 people out there. A new release, people would line up for a new release. It's way different now, and people have a lot of choices there. But the people who are still coming into record stores, and new people are finding it every day and discovering the appeal, but the true collectors are still going to record stores, still going to thrift stores for that matter, still going anywhere they can to find stuff.
Do you guys worry about the future of record stores?
I do.
I worry about the future, period. I think that, you know, I don't like to speak in generations, but we did lose a whole generation of people that weren't into the physical product, kind of. And they were gone, and the record industry watched them go away, did nothing about it, and then, you know, the generation behind that, your generation, really came back in a lot of ways. And so the future, yeah, I mean, we're getting ready to reopen the Annex as a vinyl-only store again. I mean, we remodeled, we expanded it, we made it bigger. And that's a that's a nutty thing to do, really. What we probably should be doing is consolidating down to one store and, you know, hey, come here if you want or whatever. That would be easier. It'd be certainly more financially prudent, but that's not what we're doing. So, you know, better to burn out than to fade away, in immortal words.
Very nice.
But and maybe that's what'll happen. But people will keep making music, and however they get that, whether we're a part of it or not, is irrelevant. We had our run; it was fabulous. We hope we have some more. But this has never been a big money-making venture. We've lived paycheck to paycheck our entire lives. That's okay. You think about it, it's the one business that mass merchandises an art form. You know, I mean, books, yes. You know, there's some other things, but music in particular. And that's a heavy-duty responsibility for us. It's a heavy-duty responsibility, period. And I think that it's an honor. So, you know, however we fit into that, if we fit into that, great. Does it mean music's going to go away? No, it just means it's going to be delivered differently. That's okay.
You have any thoughts on that question?
Well, as many times as it's changed, you know, you take it back, you know, since the beginning of rock and roll, it's changed, but it's survived. So as it continues to change, I believe it will still survive all the record stores. Well, you know, anybody who's got their heart into it, it doesn't matter the size. It could be a very small record store, but they will be there.
So my last question I have to ask you guys, Desert Island pick, what would it be?
Oh my gosh. I think it would have to be the first record I ever bought, which was Marty Robbins' Gunfighter Ballads.
To the town of our free, who rode a stranger one fine day.
I think that would be mine. You know, I'm a huge Elvis Costello fan. There's a lot of things I can't live without, but that'd have to be it for me.
You'd have to take it back to the beginning.
I would. I love classic country. I love singer-songwriter stuff.
It was early in the morning when he rode into the town. He came riding from the south side, slowly looking all around.
This is going to change if I was asked this question tomorrow, you know.
Yeah.
But for today, I vividly remember the first vinyl I bought from Sound Warehouse, and it was Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And so today, that is the choice.
It was 20 years ago today. Sgt. Pepper taught the band to play. They've been going in the Nazi style.
Thank you guys both so much for coming in and talking to me.
Thank you, Jake.
Hey, thanks for having us. Thanks for the interest.
That was Jake Brunell speaking with Judy Negley and Sean Mayo of Independent Records in Colorado Springs. You're listening to Aircheck from KRCC.